Today's reading continues our series in the Gospel of Luke. I'm at chapter 5, starting at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Croeso, welcome. My name is John and I'm the minister here at Penrath. If you're joining us on Sunday the 28th of February, please be aware that we are gathering for communion on Zoom at 11:30. So do pause this sermon if you're getting short of time. Come and join us for communion and then come back to finish off the sermon later. This week, I'm off to Machu Picchu. Well, at least my taste buds are. It's the start of Fair Trade Fortnight. Fair trade is great because, most importantly, it ensures that the products that we're eating at a fair trade have been ethically created. Secondly, fair trade invests into the communities of the people who have created the products. So it costs a bit more and that money is invested back. And I know it's difficult to do shopping at the moment, but perhaps if you get the opportunity, grab the fair trade alternative, particularly for this next couple of weeks. I used to dread fair trade coffee when I was growing up, particularly at the church counter. The coffee wasn't good. The cause was awesome, but the coffee was awful. And now the coffee is excellent. So go for it. And maybe over this next fortnight, why not post a photo of your favourite fair trade product or your find of fair trade fortnight for this year. Let us know what you've enjoyed the most. And just as my taste buds are going on a journey to Machu Picchu, so we too are on a journey. We're on a journey of discipleship, and we're doing a journey in our sermons through the Gospel of Luke. We are looking at how we can model ourselves more and more on the life and the teachings and the ministry of Jesus. Now, I hope you've got a notepad and a Bible. You're going to struggle to stay tuned in if you haven't. I really would recommend writing a few things down, maybe things that you find particularly interesting or things that you want to look up more in your own time. I always like to take notes when I listen to people speak, and it helps me reflect and allows me to own for myself what I am hearing and come back to it and mull it over with God. And once again, I want to ask you three questions. What in this service or sermon inspires you to love Jesus more? What in this service or sermon inspires you to trust Jesus more? And what in this service or sermon inspires you to follow Jesus more? Luke takes us on a journey with Jesus to get to know Jesus more. And then hopefully we find ourselves inspired again with who Jesus is, what he did, and the way he did things, the way he lovingly and gently treated people in grace, truth, and love. And we then seek to imitate that in our own discipleship. But we need to become more like Jesus, not only to do what he did, but to be like Jesus, to do things the way that Jesus would do them. Lynn Green, General Secretary of Baptist Together, said that we need a shift in emphasis. And one of those shifts is from what would Jesus do to who would Jesus be? I agree. We need to model ourselves on him by learning to follow him more. We need to model ourselves on following him, but then if we're going to follow him, we need to trust him. And to follow him more, we probably will need to trust him more. And to trust him more, we probably will need to love him more. But in being more like Jesus, we are being more like our true selves. In his book, Stand, Karl Martin writes this. Yes, he wants to change you. He wants to make you more like Jesus. But in doing this, he's making you more like you. It's almost as if inside you, there is another you. The real you. The true you. The person you were called to be and created to be is in you. And that person, although it may sound ridiculous, because your experience is not this, but that person is fearless, that person is joyful, that person is supremely loving, that person is truthful, that person is life-bringing, that person is significantly encouraging. That's who you are. That's the true you. That's who you are created to be, and that's what God wants for you. He wants you to look like Jesus, yes, but Jesus must increase as you increase in your Jesusness, in your beauty, in your personality, and in your cooperation with all that God has in mind for you. It's in becoming more like Jesus that the real you becomes stronger. The you that Father God carefully and wonderfully created. The true you. So have a think about what inspires you to love, trust and follow Jesus more? What is going to enable you to become more like the real you that God has created? There are three sections in this passage. Firstly, Jesus heals a man of leprosy. Secondly, Jesus prays. And thirdly, Jesus forgives and heals. We're going to do 2, 3 and then 1. I'm going to start where Jesus prays. Luke talks about Jesus's commitment to prayer again and again and again. It comes up in chapter 3, verse 32, 6, verse 12, 9, verse 18, and then again in verses 28 and 29. It comes up in chapter 11, verse 1, and in chapter 23, verse 46. We read here, Luke tells us in verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is at times when people were looking for him to be healed of illness, but Jesus prioritizes his own relationship with God. It all flowed from there. So Jesus spent time on it. We see in Jesus a peace, a purpose, and a direction that only comes from prayer. We also need to pray. Secondly, Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. This group of people who lower a friend down through a roof that they have made a hole in. And how does Jesus treat this group of friends? He doesn't rebuke them for breaking the house. He doesn't even tell them off for pushing in. Very un-British. We're not really sure what we think about that. But Jesus focuses on their faith. In verse 20 we read, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Jesus isn't just forgiving the breaking of the house and the pushing in. Jesus knows that the greatest need of anyone is to be reconciled to God. That's a greater need than any physical healing. That's the greatest need for us all, to be eternally reconciled to our Saviour and our God. And Jesus, even here we read, provides a way for the Pharisees to gently come to know him. Jesus knows that while most of the people are more excited about the healing than they are about forgiving sins, the Pharisees are much more excited about the claim to forgive sins. They're having a theological crisis. And so Jesus tells them that he really means it. I want you to know, says Jesus, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. This is incredible news for them. Most of the Pharisees couldn't cope with this. You couldn't just forgive sins. God had given them an entire system to enable them to forgive sins. You had to meticulously follow the process. It was about carefully crafting golden altars according to God's pattern given through Moses in the book of Exodus. It was about following exact measures of spices to create the right anointing oil. It was about meticulously following instructions for animal sacrifice given in the book of Leviticus that could only be performed by people who were descended from a particular tribe and dressed in the correct uniforms. And that is a picture of the holiness of God to them and still to us today. And Jesus says that he has not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Because our sins really can be forgiven if we trust in Jesus and if we trust in what he did on the cross. And Jesus says that he will help them believe that he can do this, that he can forgive sins by healing this paralyzed man. He says to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Jesus has authority to forgive sin and to heal. Finally, the man healed of leprosy. Leprosy in those days wasn't just what we would call leprosy, Hansen's disease, today. It covered a number of skin diseases and conditions. But this leprosy didn't just cause physical illnesses. Anyone who had this type of skin disease, what their culture called leprosy, had to live away from their families, away from society, outside the towns, to stop the spread of the disease. Warren Wiersbe, in his book Be Compassionate, writes, "Leprosy is deeper than the skin and cannot be helped by mere surface measures. Leprosy spreads, and as it spreads, it defiles. Because of his defilement, a leprous person had to be isolated outside the camp." We know something of a disease that spreads and that we struggle to control today. COVID isolation is horrendous, and our hearts go out to those who've had COVID and are still suffering from it, and many who have been adversely affected by it in many ways. And we give thanks for the bravery of those who continue to treat it and battle against it, and who continue working as key workers in spite of it. And tragically, many people have died from COVID. People with leprosy in those days would often die too, die young. And then also we read in the book of Numbers that people in leprosy were often by society looked upon as dead, already dead. Garments which were seen to be infected with leprosy were said to be fit only for the fire. So lepers were required to keep their distance. But this man is so determined that he breaks the law and approaches the Lord Jesus personally. He calls him Lord. Jesus touches the man. This, in the eyes of society, would then make Jesus unclean. But in this case, by the grace and the power of God, this man is changed. He is healed, miraculously and instantly healed. Jesus sends him off to the priest as a testimony to his healing. There he will go through procedures and be inspected by the priest. And after a week, he'll be completely reinstated into society. Jesus here brings not only healing, but also reconciliation and restoration of this man's entire life. And Jesus can reconcile us also. He brings a wider healing. He can restore us to one another. He can bring healing, reconciliation and restoration to society today. But this miracle and this encounter is also a picture of our redemption. Sin also defiles and spreads, and then as it spreads, it defiles again, as leprosy did. Sin causes misery and isolation today. But Jesus reaches in to touch our hearts, and Jesus takes the sin in our hearts and in our lives upon himself. Jesus made himself sin for us. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, Jesus made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Bible describes how the Lord Jesus on the cross had laid on him the sins of the world, the sins of you and me. He took to the cross, dying in my place, that I might be able to be forgiven. Praise God that he loved the world so much that he was willing to do that in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." At the beginning of this miracle, the man asks Jesus if he is willing to heal him. Jesus is willing and able to heal us of all our sin. Jesus is willing and able to give us eternal life. We need to come to him as the man came to him who recognized that he needed his healing. We need to receive his purifying touch, to believe in him and trust that through his cross, he is able to forgive our sin. Jesus is willing to heal anyone who comes to him. So please do get in contact with me if you want to know more about the forgiveness that Jesus can give. I'd love to help you to get to know Jesus more. And if you already know Jesus, take a minute to reflect. Reflect on how you can become more like Jesus. How you can become more like the real you that God has created. So take a minute to pause and reflect. Write answers to those three questions. What inspires you to love Jesus more? What inspires you to trust Jesus more? And what inspires you to follow Jesus more? In a few minutes, we're going to gather for communion, but please take this time to reflect. We're going also to listen to the song, then to lead us into our time of communion, as we remember those words, "For you so loved the world that you gave your only Son."